on a Monday. It is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Department of Health Services is engaging in emergency rulemaking to address the COVID-19 pandemic. The state Supreme Court sided with Republican lawmakers last week, overturning Governor Evers' Safer at Home order. So we're looking at what comes next as Republican lawmakers appear to reject a statewide approach. How do you feel about a new statewide rule to battle COVID-19? What questions do you have about regional regulations that govern whether businesses can be open now? We're at 800-642-1234. Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter, and she's co-host of the WPR Politics podcast. Laurel, thanks for being here.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Well, take us back to Wednesday last week when the state Supreme Court struck down the stay-at-home order. What exactly made this order unconstitutional?
So really what it came down to in this particular case was where the order came from. So the court found that the Department of Health Services Secretary Andrea Palm didn't have the authority to issue such a wide-ranging and sweeping stay-at-home order. Essentially, they ruled that the Evers administration, through Palm specifically, exceeded its authority. I think it's really important for folks to know that this wasn't about Governor Tony Evers' power, gubernatorial powers to issue an order like this. It was specifically about the Department of Health Services Secretary and how much that department can do in the face of a public health crisis like this.
So, Laurel, is there a difference between an order and a rule? What about those two words there?
So that's a really important distinction and something that we're going to be talking about in the coming days. There are things in Wisconsin called administrative rules or emergency rules. Those are things that have to go through kind of a sort of legislative process. They have to go before a committee of lawmakers. They have to have approval from that committee. What Palm had issued and was at question in the lawsuit was simply an order that the administration can do without the involvement of the legislature, which is kind of what irked the legislature in this case and why they filed the lawsuit. They wanted to have more involvement. They wanted to have a seat at the table. They said something that was affecting so many Wisconsinites should have their elected officials involved in crafting it.
So how has the governor responded to the decision by the high court?
Well, the governor hasn't been terribly pleased. Unsurprisingly, you know, he wasn't happy when the lawsuit was filed. Immediately after the decision came out on Wednesday night, he was on a call with reporters and he said, this is a direct quote. He said, "Today, Republican legislators convinced four members of the state Supreme Court to throw the state into chaos. Republicans own that chaos." So he's been very critical of the effects of the court ruling and the GOP lawsuit.
We're talking about the legislative process for passing a new emergency rule to combat COVID-19. We have WPR's Laurel White with us. What questions do you have about the rulemaking process? Do you support having a new emergency rule in place? Do you want to see some of the state's restrictions lifted or eased? Join in at 800-642-1234. There's a line for you. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said that he hopes the Supreme Court case would lead to more of a collaborative relationship between the governor and the legislature during a virtual town hall hosted by TMJ4 News last week.
Governors around the country, Republican and Democrat, have really been a more collaborative process where they brought legislative leaders together, both parties, to be able to say we're fighting the virus, not each other. That's all we've been asking for.
So have we seen, Laurel, in recent days, more collaboration between lawmakers and the Evers administration?
Well, we did see a meeting between Republican leaders and the governor late last week after the lawsuit was, you know, finalized, after the ruling came out, so they could sit down together and kind of figure out steps forward. I think it's important to mention that, you know, at that first meeting, the governor said there wasn't much movement toward any sort of agreed upon plan between all the parties. There wasn't any sort of baseline negotiation about here's what we want from a, you know, a safer at home order that applies to the whole state, kind of the next iteration of what the state might do. Here's what you want. Here's, you know, what we can agree on. The governor said that it was more of just a meeting where leaders said they were happy with the court ruling and didn't seem that interested in crafting a new statewide order at this point in time. So it's going to be interesting to see sort of what comes out of that spirit of collaboration that the speaker and the Senate majority leader said that they wanted, whether that's kind of waiting for something else to happen in Wisconsin before the state issues another order, or whether they start kind of moving slowly on something new right now.
Have we heard anything out of the Senate Majority Leader, Scott Fitzgerald?
So after the meeting, he issued a statement actually on Twitter that was the only information that he released about the meeting, just saying that he was happy with it. He was happy to get the ball rolling and that he was kind of happy to have that seat at the table that lawmakers had been pushing for a while. But certainly no specifics about, you know, any negotiations that the governor said didn't happen at the meeting, or things that the Senate Majority Leader wanted to happen moving forward.
Well, let's take a call now. Chris is joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I'm sorry. I am so angry that I am absolutely shaking. I work in a hospital, and now these people think that they can go out and go to the bars and do anything they want, and when they get sick, they should come in, and I'll take care of them, and then maybe I'll get sick and die. I'm going to have to quit my job over this. I'm just so angry about this. They should just, if they're going to do this, they should stay home when they get sick. That's how I feel. Thank you so much.
Chris, thank you for the call. So, Laurel, you know, there's been certainly responses like Chris saying that they want a statewide stay-at-home order. What are you hearing from that end?
So there's definitely, I think, the perspective that Chris shared that there needs to be more of a restriction to protect healthcare workers. I think the pushback and kind of the perspective that Republicans have had throughout this process, back before they really had more of a seat at the table before this court decision, was that there needed to be a more regional approach to safer at home in Wisconsin, that communities that have had fewer cases should be able to have fewer restrictions, and that, you know, there was a balance that could be done between the interests of the business community that wanted to open back up and kind of get commerce moving again, the economy moving again in a different way than it has been over the past several weeks, and kind of that health concern. So there's a push and pull.
Yeah, some cities, though, feel like they don't have the legal standing to enforce local stay-at-home orders, that they would be exposed to legal challenges. Is that a concern?
It's absolutely a concern. And that's something that we saw on Friday developing really quickly, because a lot of communities issued those local safer at home orders immediately after the court ruling to kind of put that regional protection in place. But then after getting some legal advice within their offices and from the Wisconsin Counties Association, they learned that there might be a little bit of ambiguity there, that they might be in legal trouble because their powers come from the same law that was, struck down in the Supreme Court lawsuit. So there's a lot of question marks there about what counties can do.
We're talking with WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White. Did you notice immediate changes after the stay-at-home order was struck down? Are businesses opening up in your area? What do you think lawmakers should do at this point? Be part of this 800-642-1234 email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're talking about the DHS's, Department of Health Services, emergency rulemaking in response to the state Supreme Court overturning the governor's safer-at-home order last week. Its scope statement states that without a vaccine or treatment, there is presently no viable alternative but to regulate social distancing. So do you see an alternative to containing the spread of COVID-19? Should Wisconsinites have autonomy to make individual decisions on social distancing? Or do you support a statewide rule? We're at 800-642-1234. We have WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White, who stays with us. Let's take another call now. Annalisa is joining us from Green Bay. Hi, Annalisa.
Good morning. My question has been, why didn't the order come directly from the governor? Doesn't the Secretary of Health report to the governor? I never understood why the order came from her and not from the governor's office. Thank you.
Thank you, Annalisa. Laurel?
That's a great question. So basically, it comes down to the fact that the governor has a limited amount of time in his emergency powers when a public health emergency like this happens. It kicks in and it only lasts for 60 days after the beginning of the public health emergency that he actually declares. And he declared it early on in this case. And so they had the Department of Health Services secretary issue this because the governor's emergency powers expired actually on May 12th. And the DHS secretary powers under the state law that they said they had authority to issue this order under never expire. So it was sort of a thought that, you know, they can issue the statewide safer at home and they don't have to worry about it ending on May 12th.
Does that answer your question? Oh, Annalisa is gone. All right. Thank you so much for that call. Let's go to Kathy now in Lac des Flambeaux. Hi, Kathy.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My comment is that we are noticing the influx of people up into the northern area, and a lot of them are not wearing the PPE, personal protection equipment. And this county is known for having a very high number of elderly people who are susceptible. And I do wish that they would take into account that they are exposing us. And there was an excellent article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on Friday, May 15th. It's editorial front page, and it's up to us to protect our neighbors, and it's an excellent article, and it also covers the state of the politics going on in Wisconsin.
Well, Kathy, we appreciate you giving us a sense of what it is like in tourist areas and in the North Woods. Laurel, that is a big concern that there will be travel going on here with the lifting of a statewide order and people moving into those vacation areas.
Absolutely. That's something that health officials have been talking about for a long time, long before this court decision was issued, because there are, of course, in smaller communities in northern Wisconsin, smaller populations, there are fewer resources in terms of healthcare, places for people to go if they do contract COVID-19. So if the virus were to spread in a significant way up there, that would be just an incredible burden on the health systems in that part of the state. And that's something that health officials have certainly been wanting to prevent. And a way to prevent that is folks from other parts of the state or even out of state going to those areas of Wisconsin, which we know are beautiful and people want to visit, but certainly poses pretty big problems at this point.
We're talking about lawmakers' response to the pandemic with Laurel White, WPR State Capitol reporter, with your insights on your questions, what you're seeing in your part of the state, 800-642-1234. Laurel, let's get into the rulemaking process then. State Senator Steve Noss of Whitewater is rejecting a proposal from the Evers administration to replace the stay-at-home order. So what are you seeing out of this committee and what might happen through the rulemaking process?
So this is a new process for a lot of people. I know for me, I was familiarizing myself with what the emergency rulemaking process looks like in Wisconsin, something we're not used to. Basically, what happens is that the Department of Health Services issues that scope statement that you mentioned earlier. They've already done that. The governor's approved it. It goes through a 10-day waiting period that starts today. And then the department can officially draft the statement and then send it to the legislative committee that Senator Steve Nass is a part of. He's actually one of the co-chairs of that committee. So him coming out and saying that he already disapproves of the scope statement that DHS has written, which is a very early step in this process, is not a good sign for how this emergency rule is going to move through the process and get approval from lawmakers. The power of this committee is a little bit different than what we see in other legislative committees. As I understand it, they can eliminate parts of the emergency order as the emergency rule as it's written by the department, or they can eliminate it entirely. So it can kind of go through this process, and then this committee of lawmakers can essentially veto it. You know, we talk about the governor having veto power, zeroing something out. In this case, lawmakers on this committee have that power.
And we're going to be talking with NASA's colleague, Joan Balwig, Representative Joan Balwig, here a little later this hour. So, and she too is in the same camp, it sounds like, that Senator Steve Nass is in, that a statewide rule at this point, just not necessary. So what do you see among lawmakers? Do they have similar feelings about what steps should be next for Wisconsin as it looks to contain the spread of COVID-19?
Well, what we're starting to hear from Republican lawmakers in this new phase of negotiation and talking about this new emergency rulemaking process is that they think, and this is something that the leader said pretty quickly after the lawsuit was decided, after the court ruled, that there should be some state response, but only if there's a surge in COVID-19 cases, only if there's some sort of change to what's happening right now in Wisconsin. So I think the question here is, when that's their view and they have the majority and are certainly in control of this committee, what does a surge look like? What are their criteria for rolling out a new state response? Because we know that they have been for weeks in support of regional responses, kind of allowing local officials to do what they want, and are kind of slow to have a statewide kind of 72 county response because they think that's too broad. So when would that need to happen? I think that's kind of the big question right now. And is there any change in their view, knowing that there's kind of some legal questions on the parts of counties and even individual cities in Wisconsin about whether they actually have the power to have a, you know, quote unquote, regional approach and issue their own orders and kind of go their own way and respond as they want to?
Let's take another call. Mary Kay is with us from Kenosha. Hi, Mary Kay.
Good morning. I'm like to talk about the healthcare workers. Anybody that's been at a hospital knows that they always need extra help, okay? So when you open up businesses, they should have a mandatory PPE. You have to wear a mask. You have to social distance until we could get a cure for this disease. Also, the air quality of these buildings. Something needs to be done about the air quality in these buildings. So they can open up, but they're going to have to follow our rules. That's what the government should issue.
Mary Kay, thanks for the call. Laurel, it sounds like Mary Kay would like some mandatory PPE, personal protective equipment, orders to go down here.
Yeah, and that's really the kind of the push and pull here. That's definitely something that we know that the governor wants, and having that kind of rule, really. I think what we're seeing the state moving toward, and what Republicans have said that they are generally in favor of, is more of a honor system, I guess you could call it. They said that they trust people, they trust businesses to do the right thing and wear the protective equipment, wear masks when they're out in public, respect social distancing guidelines, have hand sanitizer available if you're a business, do other things like that. So sort of the difference between trusting people to do that and issuing the guidance for them to do that and having the requirement that they do that is really the big discrepancy right now between, I think it's safe to say, the Evers administration and the Republicans who are in charge of the legislature.
And very quickly in seconds here, where are we at with Evers' bounce back plan, Badger bounce back?
So Badger bounce back now kind of doesn't have any teeth anymore. It's going to still be there and something that we can look at. But Badger bounce back was created as a way to kind of see how close we could get to those phases of reopening the state. Now the governor doesn't really have the power to do that, the governor's administration, because of the striking down of the stay-at-home order. So Badger bounce back is more of just an informational thing at this point instead of something that spurs action by the state.
Laurel, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Laurel White is WPR's State Capitol reporter. The State Capitol report continues with the Assembly Chair of the Legislative Committee that has veto power over new statewide proposals restricting gatherings. We talk with Representative Joan Ballwig after this news update on the Ideas Network.